The text on which the teaching is based is Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Let's just go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and you know that we need it. And we pray that we would just hear from you this morning, that you would speak to each one of us, and that we would respond well to you. Give us understanding. And we pray that you would give us faith to believe it and power to live it out. So we ask you this and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody in your life who's difficult to deal with? And you have to deal with them, or you would rather not, but you should deal with them? I thought about coming up with a story about a difficult person to tell you to start this message, but I figured, you know, you're already in. You already want to listen to this. You think of your own story. Probably this week you had to deal with a difficult person. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. You're ready. So this message is for you. How do you deal with difficult people? This text today is about a difficult person and about how Jesus dealt with him. Okay, the text is Luke 19. Verses 1 to 10, and here's what we're going to see today. This is the story about Zacchaeus, more than just a short guy. There's a lot to this guy, okay? We're going to talk about why Zacchaeus was difficult to love, how Jesus' love changed Zacchaeus, and how we can love difficult people. So those three things. Why Zacchaeus was difficult to love. Maybe I'll just start saying Zach. It's a little hard to say Zacchaeus. Why Zach was difficult to love, how Jesus' love changed Zach, and how we can love difficult people. So let me read the text and then we'll jump in. He entered Jericho. So Jesus entered Jericho. He's on the road to Jerusalem. This is the last stop on the road to Jerusalem. The last few chapters in the Gospel of Luke have been this travel story, the journey, you know, the road to Jerusalem and everything that happened along the way. And this is the last stop on the road to Jerusalem. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But he was not able, because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. Small town, right? You climb a tree and people tell the story for centuries. Not going to get away with that one. Grown man climbing a tree. Everybody's going to talk about it. Okay. Climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. "He's gone to stay with a sinful man," muttered and murmured and complained. "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." Okay. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." "Today salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Amen. Because you came to seek and save the lost. Amen. So number one, why Zacchaeus was difficult to love. Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector, and nobody likes to pay taxes. Can I get an amen there? Nobody likes to write that check that says United States Treasury, but imagine if instead of writing that check to United States Treasury, you wrote the check to King George III. How would you feel then? You wouldn't like it. You'd be like dumping tea in the harbor, right? You wouldn't like that. Nobody likes to pay taxes, especially not to an occupying power. First century Israel, they weren't paying taxes to Herod. They were paying taxes to Caesar, and they didn't like that. In the people in Israel, you don't want to pay your taxes to an occupying power who's there without you wanting them to be there, controlling your life. So imagine April 15th, and somebody comes knocking on your door. Hand it over. This is going to Rome. What, the smoke is just coming out of your ears. You hate that, right? In first century Israel, Romans contracted with Jewish tax collectors who took high commissions. The way the tax collectors made their money was by collecting more than they needed to, and they took their cut, but they also took advantage of the power that they had to charge even, you know, way more than the bill was really supposed to be, and they just kept it. And people knew that that's what they were doing, and they couldn't do anything about it. And you saw the tax collector, and you were just like, ugh, tax collector, right? So the tax collectors often extorted money from people. They were despised by their countrymen as traitors, right? They weren't loyal to Israel. They were loyal to Rome, or they were willing to walk that line of being loyal to Rome so they could get their cut and get rich off of their own countrymen. So everybody hated them, and they grouped them with the sinners. You see over and over in the Gospels, right, that phrase, tax collectors and sinners. That's because they belonged in that same category in their reputation, because they stole money from people. So you group them with the sinners. So when people saw Zacchaeus coming, they didn't say, Zach, what's up? Let's step into Dunkin' Donuts and have a latte together, buddy old pal. Let me buy your donut for you at Cumbie's. Nobody ever said that to Zacchaeus. People couldn't stand Zacchaeus. You know, they saw him coming and they went to the other side of the street. And the kind of comments that they made about him, here comes Mr. Money. Here comes Mr. Shrimp Money, you know, because he wasn't that tall. They didn't like him that much. And so he was cut off from normal friendships, from normal society. Nobody wanted to have him to dinner. So, and Zacchaeus, beyond just being a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. So he must have contracted with other people to collect for him. And then he took a cut of their cut, and his cut was pretty big. So he was a wealthy man. So he was a real collaborator with the Romans. Nobody liked him. Safe to say he was a social outcast. And isn't it interesting that Jesus is always loving the outcast? Isn't that interesting? It's a theme through the whole gospel. Every part of the Gospel of Luke, especially, Jesus is always going after the people that nobody else wants anything to do with. Zach gained wealth at the cost of relationships. What was important to him? His money. What was not important to him? Anybody else. Anybody that got in the way of his money. He was willing to trample anybody. And he was okay with living in the big house and eating the good food, but nobody wanted to come eat with him. He was sort of the Scrooge kind of a guy, right? So Zacchaeus was difficult to love. And there are people in our lives who are difficult to love too, right? You ever have a difficult coworker? Don't lie, you have. Pretty much every job that you're ever going to have, there's going to be somebody, right? There's going to be somebody who's hard to get along with. Somebody who's always complaining, or somebody who is always trying to make you look bad. you know, the under the bus thrower kind of a guy. There's one at every workplace, right? He's always trying to make everybody look bad. And you got to get along with that people. You got to work with him. That's not fun. How do you deal with a guy like that? They're difficult neighbors. Neighbors who don't understand boundaries. Neighbors who don't understand that sometimes you want to sleep. Who won't get their dog to shut up, you know, or whatever it is. Maybe you don't mind that. Maybe you guys are far enough away from your neighbors you don't have to deal with that. They're difficult family members, you know. I've heard some stories. Difficult family members. Sometimes it's sort of like Zacchaeus, the people that are putting the money ahead of the relationships, and so they're fighting with everybody in their family. Those aren't easy people to deal with, right? Sometimes they are so-called friends. You ever get in a fight on Facebook? Sure you have, okay? There are difficult people out there. There are people who don't share our values, right? Who don't understand the kind of life that we want to have, and they don't get us, and we don't get them, and we don't like them. There are people that we don't even know that are difficult. You ever have to do business with somebody? You don't know them, but you got to do business with them, and they're tough. They're difficult. They're trying to cheat you, or they're just not easy to work with. And difficult people. How do you deal with difficult people? Okay, back to Zacchaeus. Besides not having any friends, Zacchaeus had another problem. Jesus was coming through town, and Zac wanted to see him, but the crowd was thick, and Zac was short. So you can just picture the scene. Jesus is coming through. He's got the disciples with him. Everybody's crowding narrow streets. People are crowding around him. Zacchaeus is like, oh, he's coming? Jesus is coming? I've heard about him. He's preaching about the kingdom of God. He's preaching about forgiveness and repentance. I want to see him. I'm interested. And he's running to see, but he can't see. And you can imagine Zacchaeus tapping on the shoulder of the guy in front of him and saying, can I get by? And they're like, you? You know, the guy who sent somebody to my door on April 15th and charged twice as much as you should have? Find your own way to see Jesus, Zac. Back up. Excuse my elbow, you know. Shrimp. They weren't being very nice to him. So Zacchaeus comes up with a solution. A tree. I can climb a tree. A sycamore tree. It's not so dignified, but who would notice, right? Who would be looking up? Everybody's going to be looking at Jesus. Who would be looking up? Zacchaeus had no idea that we'd be talking about him, you know, 2,000 years later, climbing that tree in his nice clothes, scraping up his shiny shoes, climbing that tree. So he knows where Jesus is going to come down the road, and he goes ahead. He climbs up in the tree, and he's up there ahead of everybody else, and he's thinking, well, at least I don't have to be right next to all those people who are going to criticize me. I'm going to be above them for once, looking down on them, out of the way, in the breeze. Nobody's going to care, and I'm going to just watch Jesus come by and figure out what Jesus is all about, the one who's talking about the kingdom of God, the one who's talking about repentance. So now, point two. Point one was Zacchaeus was difficult to love. He was difficult to love. Point two, how Jesus' love changed Zacchaeus. The way Jesus dealt with Zacchaeus was to show him God's love. That's what Jesus was all about, right? Showing us who God is. The Son didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's what Jesus was all about, coming into the world to show them the love of God, to show us the love of God. And he did that in a very personal way for Zacchaeus. He walked right under that tree and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus? You know? Put your name there. Jesus called his name. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knew all about him. Zacchaeus was wondering who Jesus was, but Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew his name, and he walked right up under him, and he looked up, and he called his name, Zacchaeus. I don't know if this was supernatural knowledge, or it was just that Zacchaeus had a reputation. Doesn't matter that much. Jesus knows everything anyway. But he knew his name, and he called his name. And isn't that beautiful that he knew him and he knew everything about him and he loved him anyway? He knew everything about him. He knew everything that he ever did. And he loved him anyway. He called his name. Jesus initiated fellowship with Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. It's necessary for me to go to your house. You know how Jesus has been saying to the disciples, it's necessary for me to go to Jerusalem. It's necessary for me to get killed and to rise again. You know, he's talking about God's plan. Well, along the road in God's plan, there's this one guy. And it's necessary for him to spend time with this one guy and bring salvation to this one guy. He loved him. And he says, it's necessary for me to go to your house. So Jesus spent time with him. Not easy to do when it's a difficult person, right? But Jesus, he spent time with him. And the account, it doesn't write out the conversation, but it implies that Jesus shared the good news of the coming kingdom with him. Because that's what Jesus always did. Jesus is always talking about the kingdom of God and how he's the one to bring it in. And it's implied that Jesus called Zacchaeus to believe in him, just like he did with everybody else. He says, believe in me, trust in me. The way to be part of God's kingdom is to believe in me, to follow after me. And the other side of believing is repenting, the other side of the same coin. He called Zacchaeus to repent. How would Zacchaeus know to do those things if Jesus didn't talk to him about it? So this account implies that Jesus shares the good news of God's kingdom with him, that this world is in rebellion against the kingdom of God, and I've come to claim it back for him. And you need to rebel against the rebellion, and you need to trust in me and come back to God, to repent and to believe in me, follow after me. Jesus told him all that. And Zacchaeus responded to Jesus' love just as he should have, with faith, with repentance. Verse 9, if you look there, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. So Zacchaeus, on that day, same day that Jesus came over for supper, and he probably stayed there in the house too, you know, because the people are complaining. The verb that they say is that he would take lodging with a sinner. So Jesus was like spending time with him, and a very difficult person, somebody that you weren't really supposed to associate with. He's staying at his house. He says, today salvation has come to this house. And salvation is always by God's grace, and it's always received through faith. That's how salvation works. So Jesus showed him grace, loved him when he didn't deserve it, and Zacchaeus received God's grace through faith. He believed in Jesus. Jesus said that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. Now, he doesn't just mean that Zacchaeus is Jewish, because he was a Jew yesterday. And so he's saying, but today he's the son of Abraham. What's going on there? Abraham is the father of those who believe. Remember that? Abraham set off on the journey when he didn't know where he was going. He went to the land that God said, go to the land I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. And Abraham believed God, right? God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, even though you're old, past the point of having kids. And Abraham believed God. And what it says is, in Genesis, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Okay, Abraham is the father of those who believe. Although Zacchaeus was a Jew, he wasn't a son of Abraham because of his bloodline, but because of his faith. And you too can be a child of Abraham. If you're a believer in Christ today, you are a child. Father Abraham had many sons. You're one of them. You don't have to start dancing now. Although nobody's going to complain. Okay, so in the other side of the same coin of faith is repentance. Zacchaeus demonstrated the fruit in keeping with repentance. Oh, by the way, what did Zacchaeus believe? Zacchaeus believed in Jesus, that he was the Messiah of God. Maybe he didn't understand everything that Jesus was going to do yet, but he said, I'm going to trust in this guy. This is my way to God. I'm going to put my faith in him. not in being a good person. I'm not putting the meaning of life in my money anymore, in my reputation. I'm putting all my hopes in the Son of God, in Jesus. The other side of the same coin of faith is repentance. Zacchaeus demonstrated the fruit in keeping with repentance. Remember John the Baptist, this is in the beginning of Luke, in Luke 3, John the Baptist preached and said, you know, repent, the kingdom of God is near. He also says God can raise up from these stones sons of Abraham. Zacchaeus was one of them. And John the Baptist says, bear fruit consistent with repentance. So the fruit of your life should be consistent with a repentant heart, a heart that's turned away from sin and turned towards God, a heart that's humble before God and says, I'm a sinner and I need your salvation and I'm going to turn from my own selfishness and turn towards you. The fruit of your life should be, or the actions of your life should be the fruit of that kind of heart. So what did Zacchaeus do? He offered a thank offering to God. He says, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. That was half of his possessions, half of everything he owned, not just half of his income. I'm going to give half of everything I have. And he's a wealthy man. He says, I'm going to give that to the poor. That's how grateful that I am to God for his salvation. That I'm going to give away half my stuff to the poor because Jesus cares about the poor. And he offered fourfold restitution to anyone he may have defrauded. And he probably had defrauded some people. You know, that's what the tax collectors did. And he says, I'm going to pay you back four times over. Now, even the strictest laws in first century Israel said, if you've defrauded somebody and you have to pay them back, well, you pay them back with 20% interest. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give you 400% interest. I'll pay you back four times over. And his heart is full of joy. What changes a miserly heart into a joyful heart? The love of Jesus, right? And that's the fruit of repentance, is to have joy in your life. That's one of the fruits of repentance. So what we see in Zacchaeus is a changed heart. Jesus' love changed him. Jesus' love is like that. When you really see it for what it is, it melts your heart and it fills you with joy. When you see that Jesus loves you when you don't deserve it, that changes you. It can even transform your personality, believe it or not. Jesus' love is grace. It's something we don't deserve. Up until now, Zacchaeus had been driven by his greed, and it left him isolated, unhappy, and mean. But Jesus loved him when he didn't deserve it. Jesus' love made him a changed man. So, now point three. How can we love Jesus? How can we love difficult people? We've seen how Zacchaeus was difficult to love, and Jesus loved him and it transformed him. So now the question is, how can we love difficult people? Because there are difficult people in our lives. How can we deal with them? There are people that you really want to change, right? Aren't there people around you and you think, I wish they were different like this? Don't be embarrassed. That's all of us, right? How can you get those people to change? Love them well and see what happens. That's the answer, right? Love them well and see what happens. Like Jesus' love transforms somebody. If we show somebody Jesus' love, it can transform them. And you're saying to me, well, what if they don't change? Well, they might not. That's their issue. That's their problem. But we're still called to love them well. And a lot of times, they'll receive that love just like Zacchaeus did, and it'll transform them. But how can you even attempt to love somebody with any sincerity if that person's difficult? Because, I mean, you can try to love them, you can try to force yourself, but you don't really want to. Because that's a difficult person. That's an obnoxious person. How can you love somebody? We have to start by realizing that God loved us when we were difficult to love. God loved you when you were difficult to love. God loved me when I was difficult to love. That's what's going to change my heart. We haven't always loved the outcast, have we? We haven't always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've been selfish. We've been rebellious towards God. We've said to God, I'll decide what's right and wrong for me. You stay out of my business. We've been selfish and rebellious. We were distant from God. We were out of fellowship with Him. But Jesus initiated love towards us. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We couldn't make it to God, so Jesus came down to us. And Jesus gave His life for us. Greater love is no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He died for us, for our sins, in our place, and rose again. The ability to love difficult people starts with the realization that I'm one of the difficult people that Jesus loves. Only then can our hearts be changed. And then we can follow His example of love. And what is Jesus' example of love? We can change our heart attitude towards the difficult person. Like, I always think of that person as the difficult person. But how does Jesus want me to think about that person? How does Jesus think about that person? Either that's somebody who's lost. He came to seek and save the lost, right? Either that's somebody who's lost, who's distant from God and wandering around out there in the wilderness. Somebody in need of Jesus' salvation. Somebody that Jesus loves. Or this is a sinner who's saved by grace just like me. Another Christian who's somewhere along the road of sanctification just like I am and isn't totally transformed yet, just like I'm not, you know. Either it's a lost person or it's somebody who's saved by grace just like I am. So we don't just think about them as a difficult person, but think of them how Jesus thinks of them. And what did Jesus do? Jesus took initiative towards Zacchaeus. And that's how we can love a difficult person, is take initiative towards them. Take the first step in loving them. And a lot of times we think about this like two countries negotiating a treaty, you know. Well, if they do this, then I will do that, you know. Jesus didn't do that. He went to Zacchaeus first. And we need to take the first step towards the difficult person in loving them, reaching out to them, not waiting for them to change or not waiting them to apologize or to come to us first. We take the first step towards them. And spending time with them. Jesus spent time with difficult people. You're like, really, Pastor? That's asking a lot. But that's what Jesus did. And we can spend time with them. The kind of love that transforms people is the kind of love that's part of a relationship. The kind of love that takes conversation and takes some time getting to know somebody. And finally, using your resources, using your money as Jesus would. And we see this in Zacchaeus' repentance, that Zacchaeus used his money one way, and then Jesus found him, and it changed the way he used his money. And what happened is he started using his money the way Jesus would use his money. He adopted Jesus' values in the way that he invested his money. And hey, I just praise God that there are people here that are getting that. You know, I heard somebody this week talking about investments. People were talking about investments, and this guy says, I'm investing in the kingdom of God. And I knew that it was true, because I've seen it happen. I've observed the person doing that. And I just, you know, you can't outgive God, right? He's going to take care of you. And investing in the kingdom of God is a beautiful thing. Okay. Jesus' love changed a greedy man into a generous man. The world thinks that the point of money is to get it, to keep it, to spend it on yourself, to make yourself happy, and to make yourself important. That's the world's value on money, right? But followers of Jesus learn that money is on temporary loan to us from God. God says, let me give you a little bit, and now I want you to handle this money the way I would handle it for me. Take care of it the way I would. Use it according to my values, God says to us. And what are Jesus' values? Jesus is interested in his kingdom, and he's interested in the poor. Isn't that interesting? That's what Jesus loves. Jesus wants us to use our money to advance his kingdom and to take care of the poor. Jesus wants us to use our money to love difficult people. He wants us to love them with the time that we spend with them, but also in the way that we use our resources, the way that we use the money that we have. The love of Jesus can transform a person. Do you want to change a difficult person? Let Jesus' love transform you, and then show Jesus' love to that person. So we'll finish with these three questions for you to think about. Have you received Jesus' love? There might be some people here today who haven't yet, and I would love to talk to you about how to receive Jesus' love by faith. And for those of us who have received Jesus' love, are we letting His love change our hearts? Are you letting Jesus' love change your heart? And then are you giving His love to the difficult people in your life? Are you sharing His love with the difficult people around you? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the good news in it. Thank You for the way that You showed mercy and grace to Zacchaeus. And thank You that You've shown that same mercy and grace to us. And I pray that would transform us. Help us to receive this in faith and live it out. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.